Coronavirus is a pandemic.
No justice! No peace!
This is going to get worse.
What's up, Active Church Online? I'm so glad that you're tuning in. And as Ali said, I want to see that comment section filled up with some amens. If God speaks something to you, make sure you say something. That's how we talk back in our church this week, is through the comment section. I actually have my Facebook Live app with me, and I got a couple of friends from our team here in the building, just a few of us, because it's hard to preach to just an empty room. So could you guys say hi to our online family today? Could you guys say hi? Just a couple close friends and family. We are so excited. And by the way, if I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Adam Magana. I'm the lead pastor here at Active Church, and we'd love to connect with you. You can connect via our website by going to myactivechurch.org and clicking on the connect card on our homepage. It's super easy. We'd love to partner with you in prayer and connect with you and help you take a next step in your relationship with God. Well, hey, I'm excited because today we're jumping into week three of our series, Psalm 23. We're just going to jump right in. Is that cool? Can we just go right in? All right, sounds good. I got my comment section here, so make sure if something's good, let us know. And also, I'm going to ask you in a few minutes to name your favorite junk food. So it's going to be, get ready, get your thumbs ready, and because we all know that church is a little different right now. And so you know, we are praying, we're believing that God's church, that the best days are still ahead for his church. This is not like, oh no, what are we going to do? I'm going to talk a little bit about that as we get in today. But we're in Psalm 23. I'm going to read to you out of Psalm 23. But before we do that, we are in an expository sermon series. And I taught you guys, we learned the first couple weeks what an expository message was. It's verse by verse, right? Typically, we do what are called topical teachings, but twice a year or so, we'll take a moment and we'll say, you know what, let's go verse by verse through a book of the Bible or through a section of Scripture. And our section of Scripture is one of the most famous, really famous psalms or famous sections of Scripture. It's Psalm 23. And I always ask the question, who wrote this book? If I'm looking at the Bible is made up of 66 different books or letters and over thousands of years. And what we see is that God has one theme throughout the entire message of the Scriptures, and that is that man falls short and God is able to redeem and restore. And we see David is the author of this particular psalm. He didn't write all the psalms, but we do know that David wrote this one, and he didn't write it in a season where he was just a little shepherd boy. I used to read this when I remember like going to like Sunday school, and they'd read us this psalm, and I thought David was like a little guy, but most scholars believe that he was older in his age. As a matter of fact, the season, the context of what was happening in this psalm is that the kingdom of Israel was being divided. It was a family drama issue. Anyone ever have any family issues? Okay, so you're with me. Now, what happens is this. David is writing the psalm, and he's going through stress and anxiety. I would tell you that this context in his life was a season of stress and anxiety. And the purpose of Psalm 23 was really to help, really help position him and position us to have strength in the midst of a struggle. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like 2020 a little bit? To have strength in the struggle. Some of us are still fighting. We're waking up at night. We're stressing, and some of us have said, you know what? I'm still gonna lean in, and I'm still gonna make my voice be heard. But I'm gonna trust God in this season. I can't control a pandemic. I can't control certain things about my life, but right now I'm going to trust God. So this psalm is designed to help you. If you're going through problems in your, maybe in your finances, this psalm is for you. If you're going through problems in your singleness, this psalm is for you. If you're going through problems in your marriage, this psalm is for you. If you're going through problems trying to raise your kids and homeschool three kids, and you're freaking out because the governor just said you can't, you're not, your kids aren't going back to school in the fall, and you're going, what are we going to do? Can I get an amen from the parents? This psalm is for you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read it. I'm going to read this out loud, then we're going to jump right in. This is Psalm 23, 1 through 6. It goes like this. It says this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Can I get a good amen? I want to see the comment section amens too, okay? All right. The title for my message today is this, Thirst Quencher. Look at your neighbor and say, Thirst Quencher. I think that's the Gatorade slogan, so Gatorade, don't sue us. Okay. He leads me, today our section of scripture, our verse is that he leads me beside quiet waters. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're with us in every single living room. We are a multi-site church today. We are one church in many locations, and we're going to continue to bring the gospel to our church and beyond these four walls. God, it's not about a building. It's about your church, and we are the church. So, Lord, lead us right now into your presence. Help us to walk away changed by the power of your Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We're talking about the Good Shepherd. We're talking about David is writing a psalm about shepherding, about sheep. And let me tell you something about sheep. We've been talking about sheep for a few weeks. Sheep are really, really thirsty animals. Like, really thirsty. They don't drink just a gallon of water a day. How many of you guys drink a little bit of, you try to get your, you know, maybe a gallon in. Maybe you're like, I'm just working on 8 cups of water, Pastor. That's good. Get your 8 cups in. I used to drink a gallon a day. I was going for it. It was a great season of my life. And then I had kids. No, I'm just joking. But I was drinking a gallon of water a day. It's really good. They don't just drink 1 gallon a day. They don't just drink 2, not 3. Sheep, on average, drink 5 gallons of water every single day. They are some water drinking animals. Okay, now listen to what the psalmist says, what David says here. It says he leads me beside quiet waters. Some facts about sheep: they are afraid of running water. They don't like it. As a matter of fact, even if it's just like a slow, they don't like running water. It's a limitation for them. It's an irrational fear. And for me, as a shepherd, maybe of my family, like if my kid doesn't like something, like if Hadley or Brixton are complaining about what's for dinner, I'll be like, well, I guess you're just not going to eat tonight. I'm so sorry. Why? Because I know that they could go in the fridge and pull out a piece of cheese and get some salami and grab some like pirate booty, some white cheddar pirate booty. Man, that stuff's so good. And they could get that stuff. They're not going to starve, but I'm like, oh, too bad. It looks like you're going to starve. And they're like, woo! And they'll eat their dinner, or they'll just eat, play with it a little bit, and eventually they'll probably go eat something afterwards. But here's the reality. That's not what a good shepherd does. What does a good shepherd do? A good shepherd meets the sheep where they're at. A good shepherd doesn't say, well, sucks for you, sheep. It looks like you're just gonna starve and die of thirst. No, no. A good shepherd goes, these little suckers, they don't even realize, man, they're not gonna fall in. They're so dumb. He doesn't do that. He goes, hey, I know what I'm gonna do. A good shepherd would dam up the water upstream a little bit, and he would make a quiet, really very safe kind of pool where the sheep could come and drink. Why? Because Jesus, when he's your shepherd, always meets you where you are, not where he is. He entered into your world. As Ali said during MC Welcome, he's Emmanuel, God with us. He left heaven and entered into creation to meet you and I right where we were, in our brokenness, in our failures, in our fatigue, in our fear, in our irrational fears. He says, I love you so much, I'm going to go down to where you are so that I can help lead you to where you ought to be. How many of you are thankful that your God doesn't meet you, doesn't say, get up here on my level. He says, I'm going to come right down to you today. This is really good, by the way. Side note, I love leadership. I love, like, reading books about leadership. It sounds really lame. Like I have a degree in organizational leadership. Like, that was my major, my BA in business, emphasis, org leadership. I love it. I think it's so great. I don't know if I'm good at it, but I really, really do like to learn about it. And if you're a marketplace leader, you should understand this concept, because here's why. Good leaders should ask good questions of their team members. You don't say, well, you're supposed to be doing this. You ask, help me understand, what are you going for here? What obstacles are you facing? Help me understand, even if you're a teacher, it looks like you're having some problems there, student. How can I help you? You guys know this with your parents. Like, parents, you understand this. You know, you're like, what's your deal? No, I'm just kidding. You don't say that. Come on, get your shoes on. No. Kids, by the way, just don't, like, when you're having to leave a house, they always lose a shoe. And that's where I find my I want to yell, but I'm like, how can I help you, Brixton? So ask good questions. Meet people where they are. Wives, when your husband leaves the toilet seat up for the 1,875th time this year, meet him where he's at. He's not trying to make you have a bad day. He just forgot. Just ask questions. How can I help you remember? Meet people where they are. Can I get an amen? Here's the reality. The good shepherd wants to satisfy every one of your needs. He does. He wants to satisfy every one of your needs. But here's the newsflash. Even though we know that here, we don't always believe that here. Even though we know that here, we don't always believe that here. And here's what we do. We go around the world, around our lives, and we start looking for satisfaction and everywhere and everyone and anything in any place but God sometimes. It's like we mentally ascend to our faith sometimes. It's like sometimes we come to Jesus in our place of brokenness and we get fixed up, and then we believe it here for a season and we know it to be true, but then suddenly somehow, I don't know when it happens, but we drift away and we start believing it here, but then it's all of a sudden it stops being true here and we start looking for the things to satisfy us that can never ever truly satisfy us again. And we know that they're empty, but we drift back like sheep. We kind of go astray. And God wants you to know this morning, as you're tuning in, as you're listening to this on your run, as you're on the podcast, if you're on YouTube watching this later on and it's not even Sunday, God has a message for you, that there's nothing that can satisfy your soul like the presence of Jesus. Nothing. And I want to prove to you in Scripture, through these sheep and through the Good Shepherd and through Psalm 23, that God wants to satisfy you, but we don't always go to him for satisfaction, do we? Here's a couple things that we try to make satisfy us that don't always fulfill us. Here's the reality. We go to money. We go to the opposite sex. Relationships. We go to success for satisfaction. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that appears to be right. So there's things in your life that you're like, this looks like it'll work. This seems like it's right, but watch what it does. But in the end, it leads to destruction. What's going on? It's almost as if God is saying, you're always going to kind of drift to things that seem right, but in the end, they have no fulfillment for you. Listen, the world cannot satisfy you the way that God can. And I wanted you to know that the world is thirsty in more ways than one, okay? The world is looking and longing for something, and you and I are all craving something that can truly satisfy us. And David understood this, that when the Lord is our shepherd, that he actually wants to provide and satisfy every desire we have, and he wants to lead us beside quiet waters. Let me say it like this. Something is leading your life. Something is leading your life. Let me ask you, what is it? What's leading your life today? Is it, I'll give you a couple examples. Some things that lead people's lives are their cravings. We all have cravings. Maybe you're here today and you're being led by your cravings. And let me tell you something, your cravings, you have an appetite for certain things. We all do. It's our proclivity. Like if you were just to listen to your heart, people always say, I've heard people say, just listen to your heart. Follow your heart. Your heart will tell you. No, it won't. Don't follow your heart, ma'am. Don't follow your heart, sir. Why? Because if you listen to your heart, you probably wouldn't be where you're at today. And some of you listened to your heart and you followed your heart and you're like, yeah, that was a bad idea. Listen to your heart. No, don't do that. We'll delete that song. Here, let me ask you about this. Let me ask you about your cravings. If you've just let yourself give into every craving, where would you be right now? How would your marriage be if you gave it to every one of your cravings, sir? Probably not very good. How would your health be if the only thing you did was give into your cravings and didn't eat things that you knew you ought to eat and didn't say no when you knew it was time to say no? Here's two things you can do with your cravings. You can either allow them to control you, or you can crucify them. You can either allow your cravings to control you, or you can crucify them. It's your choice. Number two, some people are being led. Some of you are being led by culture. Culture. What's culture? I've heard it said culture eats vision for breakfast. See, culture at large would be the world's ways, the cosmos, as the Greek would say. It's the ways, the current of the world. But we have cultures all the time. We have cultures in our families. We have cultures in our businesses. We have cultures with our roommates and our housemates. We have cultures in our church. As a matter of fact, we have a cultural code. We call it the code. And we actually, it's our job as church, I believe, to set the tone of the culture of what God's house should be like. In other words, there's things that we value. So we say, here's how we do it here. We have four core values: love God, love people, pursue excellence, and have fun. Then we have another six that tie into that. Like, we lead the way in generosity. We go first. You know, we talk about these things. Why? Because culture determines your destination. You could have a vision for your life, ma'am or sir, and you could be like, man, this is what I want to do. But if you allow these cultural currents to push you away from where God wants you, you'll actually notice that there's some things in the world that are trying to get you to go in a place that you never were meant to be going. So many of us don't realize it, but we're being led by culture. For example, what does it mean to be led? What does it love God as our first core value? It means that we put God first. Our newsflash, mainstream, culturally relevant, what's happening now? You say, hey, I put God first. The culture would say, why would you do that? Number one, it's not tolerant. It's not tolerant. It's not inclusive. Number two, God is so antiquated. See, the world is always trying to secularize Christians. You have to be set apart. That's literally what holy means. To be holy means to be set apart. Like, yeah, the culture may be telling you one thing, but my God says another thing. And I don't care what you say. God's truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm always going to go on the side of God's truth. Some of you are being led by your crew or your circle. Hashtag check your circle. My grandma used to tell my dad, my abuelita, she used to tell my dad in her broken English, Abigail Magana, she would say, mijo, I'm not going to do the whole voice, but she'd tell my dad, show me your five closest friends and I'll show you your future. Grandma, that's some good stuff right there. That'll preach. Some of you have some dumb sheep in your circle. And if you don't know who they are, chances are, I'm not going to say that. Why don't you tag in the comment section your dumbest sheep friend? No, I'm just joking. Don't do that. Don't do that. Jeremiah 2:13 says this. I love this. He says, the prophet Jeremiah says, "For my people have done two evil things." He's talking to Israel, the tribe of Judah. So Israel split up into northern and southern territories. The southern tribe is Judah, and Judah was just completely off the mark. They just completely left God. They went to idol worship, and they were like, yeah, let's just start having sex with whoever. They completely left God at the synagogue, if you know what I'm saying. They just said, you know what, peace out, we're done. And here's what happens. He said they did two things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, God calls himself, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. See, when you and I leave God's statutes God will let us go. But when you and I leave God's word and we stop following God, and we may not say it out loud like, today I'm not going to follow God. I've never seen that Twitter update. Not following Jesus today, even though I proclaim him, period. I've never seen someone update their story like, what's up, guys? Hey, what's up, guys? I'm here. And I'm about to go abandon God. Hashtag no Jesus. No one does that. But we do that oftentimes. So no conviction, but here's what I want to tell you. If you have people in your circle that are impacting you, that are pulling you away from where God wants you to go, you tune in just for this. You need a reality check that those people are not helping you. They're actually hurting you. My challenge for you today is this, that you would be led by Christ. It's not always intuitive. I'm telling you, it's not. It's not always easy. Oftentimes, it can be very difficult. But I'm telling you, it's a better way. God's ways are better than your ways. It's better than your cravings. It's better than the culture. It's better than your crew. God's way, Christ's way, is the best way. Amen? All right. So how does a sheep drink 5 gallons a day? I'm going to give you some practical application, and then we'll go home, and we'll have you. Well, actually, you're already home. You can go back for your second cup of coffee. You can go out and feed the dog, whatever you got to do. Okay. Number one, how does a sheep get 5 gallons of water a day? How does a sheep do that? How does a good shepherd satisfy his sheep like that? That's a lot of water. If you had 50 sheep, do the math. What is that, 5,000 gallons? I have no idea. 500 gallons. There we go. I'm not a math major. All right. The first way, someone's making fun of my math, I think. What is it? 250, thank you. Comment your original answer in the comment section. All right, check it out. A shepherd would get all of his sheep, and he would say, wake up. I imagine he would like tap the ones on the head with his little staff. Hey, wake up. And he'd say, come on, guys, we're going to the field. The fields were, here's what he would do. The good shepherd would find the field with the most dew that was saturated all over the grass. And those sheep would come, and they would get most of their daily nourishment, guess where? From the dew in the early morning. The early morning water, the early morning session of drinking from the dew would sustain most of its water for that entire day. Spiritual application. You already know where I'm going. You and I need to know that our daily nourishment with God needs to come from his word every single morning. Every single morning. Why? Because I'm satisfied, write this down, when I daily spend time in God's word. Daily. I was trying to think of an acronym for DEW, D-E-W. I was like, daily engagement in the word. You know, I was just trying. Daily enter worship. And nothing formulated, so I just left it out. But there you go. That's free. By show of hands, how many of you guys like to diet? You just love it. Hands going up all over online world. No, they're not. How many of you guys just love vegetables? Love that kale. Got to get that kale. Little kale, little carrots, No ranch, because ranch is bad for you. You guys love that, right? I don't, if you haven't been able to tell by my sarcasm, I don't really love bland meals. That's one thing I want to ask God when I get to heaven. Like, God, why did you make good food taste, or food that was bad for me, why did it taste so good? Like French fries, they're amazing. Why can't French fries be rich with calcium and vitamin C and zinc and give me probiotics? Why is it that it tastes so good, but it's so bad for us? I don't know. Healthy food's just not as good as good food or junk food. Right now, if you're on Facebook, tell me right now, what is your go-to junk food? I want to see what it is. For me, I could eat hot wings and French fries every single day of my life. Buffalo wing sauce, like not too hot, but some kick and some ranch. Man, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I could do that every day of my life. Some of you right now, you're like, Pastor, you don't know the health food that I eat, and it's really good. And you, no, yes, I have eaten that. And let me tell you, the verdict is in. Pizza wins, okay? Pizza's better. You can email me at info@idontreallycare.com, and we can have a debate on email. Here's the reality. When you load up on junk food, it's really good in the moment. But afterwards, you're like, oh, why did I do that? What was I thinking? Oh, you're like, I'm starting my diet tomorrow, like kale salad with the salmon and a little bit of, you're like, tomorrow my diet begins. But here's the reality. There are things that satisfy you and feel good in the moment, but afterwards, you don't feel good. For example, you wake up in the morning, and instead of craving God's word, you crave Instagram and your newsfeed. And you fill up on Instagram story, and maybe Stephen Furtick posted a little cool clip, and you got like 2 minutes in, you're like, oh, that was good. And then you go on to the next one, the conspiracy theory, and then this, and guess what governor's doing? You're like, oh my God, our world stinks. And you start getting in the negative, you get in the moly grubs, my pastor used to say, getting in the moly grubs. I don't even know what the moly grubs are. It just sounds like a bad place. You start going down the wrong path, and you're feeding, first thing you're feeding on is things that will not lead you to life. There are broken cisterns that leave you feeling empty. And here's what happens. You feel gross. We need to wake up and crave the presence of Almighty God. Like the Spirit of God, He's waiting. This isn't like a read your Bible. No. This is like we get to talk to God. Like He sent us a love letter. He gave us His word. Like people die to smuggle a Bible into communist China. And we have like 50 of them. And our phones are full of scripture that highlight it. We get to spend time with God. I love what Jesus says. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? For they will be satisfied. That's what you want, don't you? You want satisfaction. You want to feel like I'm filled up on the right things. Can we just be a church that just craves the presence of God? Not just on Sunday either. I have a challenge for you this summer. We'll say all the way through the rest of July and August. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and start reading our daily Bible reading plan. There's a picture of it. We'll throw it up right now. You can visit myactivechurch.org and click on SOAP Daily Reading. And what you're going to see is there's a tab, and you can literally every morning, you can go to July. We're in Psalms right now. What a great place to start. Psalms. And we're in Psalms, and every day, for every date, there's a couple of chapters you can read along with us. There's all the New Testament, much of the Old and New Testament, all Psalms and Proverbs, and we're going to go through pretty much the entire Bible in a year, and you don't have to wonder where to start. If you missed a day, just catch back up and start on the day you're at. And every day, let's go to God, and let's feed our souls on the Word of God. I'm challenging you, do it. I want you to post it on social media. I want you to add us on Instagram. I want you to tag us on social. Make sure you do that. And every day, let's get into God's word. Why? Because I read God's word every day. I read His word daily because my soul needs daily nourishment. In the same way that you eat daily, your soul needs daily nourishment. Here's the deal too. Every single meal that I eat is important. But not every meal I eat is memorable. Like, I don't really remember what I ate yesterday for lunch. Actually, I do. It was a sandwich. I had a ham sandwich. Thank you, Stacy. It was a sandwich. It's a sandwich. I love sandwiches, but it wasn't memorable. It was just a sandwich. It was just a normal sandwich with some Ruffles and some strawberries. And it wasn't, maybe it was very memorable. But the reality is this. It wasn't super memorable. Like, in a week from now, I'll be like, let me tell you what I ate on Saturday afternoon. I had a ham sandwich. I'm be like, I have no idea. But the reality is, it wasn't super memorable, but it was important because I'm here today. I have energy today. I got up early at 4:30. I worked out. I have energy today. I'm preaching. Come on, I'm trying to preach at you guys online. I'm trying my best. I got energy to communicate God's word because I ate yesterday. It wasn't memorable, but it was important. Okay, now watch. Hang on with me. Watch this. In the same way, some of you are not feeding your soul every day because it doesn't feel memorable. The sky didn't open up when you read Psalm 48. You weren't like, oh my gosh, the Lord has spoken unto me, and I have a word and a calling from the Lord. No. You just read it, you're like, that didn't do much. I don't know. What was the word about today? I don't know. It was something about lamenting, and David was mad, and something about Jesus and the New Testament. It's not always going to be memorable, but man, let me tell you something. You have no clue what it's doing to your soul when you feed on God's word every morning. Your soul needs every single ounce of that word of God. It's the bread of life. Man shall not live off bread alone, but every word that comes from the Father's mouth. You are not a spiritual person, or you're not a human having spiritual experiences. You are a spirit having a human experience, so your nourishment needs to come from the Spirit of God. Man, can I get a better amen than that? I'm running out of time. So here's what we got to do. Real quick. Stacy and I love telling the story. I have a longer version of it. When we were living in Las Vegas, we were youth pastors, so we didn't have, like, much money. And we had a friend that worked at BLT Steakhouse. If you don't know what BLT Steakhouse is, it doesn't stand for bacon, lettuce, tomato. It is a chef, Gordon Ramsay, celebrity kitchen, blah, 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 baller at the top of a big old casino. And our friend worked there, and she got one free meal every single month for a family or a friend. And guess who she chose? Her youth pastor. Thank you, Jesus. We went there, and oh my gosh, I ate so much. I had a 12-ounce Wagyu ribeye cooked medium rare. That was the most amazing. It was a game-changing steak. It changed my life. I was like, Lord Jesus, I taste. These are flavors I've never had before. I imagine the heaven we're going to have steaks like that. Better than that. But listen, it was life-changing, but just because it was memorable, it doesn't mean that it was any more essential than the one I ate yesterday for lunch. And there, listen, you got to get this. It's essential, but it was memorable, but the one I ate yesterday that was just a sandwich, it was just as essential, and you got to get this. Every single meal you eat with God is essential. It's what's going to get you to the next level. Okay, number two, the next source God uses to quench our thirst is our streams. This is the regular gathering of the church. Every once in a while, every week or so, hey guys, every Saturday on a Sabbath or a Friday, they'd take them down to the stream. The sheep would drink from the stream. They'd dam it up, and all the sheep would get together, and they'd all hang out. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. The local church is God's strategy for community. Guess what? We're going to keep trying to do whatever we can to get you into community. I don't want you to be by yourself. I don't want you to feel alone, sir. I don't want you to feel alone, ma'am. If you're watching this and you feel like you're struggling to get in a group, get in a life group. We could still meet online in Zoom. We could still get together outside in parks. Let's be about community. Here's why. That's God's idea. You know, we're in temporary lockdown right now. If you're watching this months from now, hopefully we're not in this anymore. And we're doing everything we can to work with local officials to keep you and your family safe. And we're praying for our leaders. And we're asking God to give them wisdom because they need it. And how many of you know there's a lot of people right now that are divided on this, but can I just tell you something? God's not worried. Like, God's not like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? He's not talking to Michael, the archangel, like, I don't know, man, this governor over here says this, and this governor says this, and this. He's not, he's just like, I know what I'm going to do, because he's God. So listen, we're going to do everything we can with wisdom to continue to build God's community, to grow and to strengthen it in this season. Why? Is it because we need to get back to Sundays because we need donuts on a wall again, or we need coffee? I love it. Is it because we need to do a kids program and, you know, we just like getting up early and setting up, tearing down? Is that why we're trying to do this? Here's why we're doing this. It's a yes to all of those, but can I give you something? The reason God cares so much about the church and the reason we care so much about advancing this movement of God's love and grace is because it says so in the Word of God that's important. Watch this. Christ, Ephesians 5:25. Christ loved the church. Everyone say loved. And he gave himself up for her. Listen, guys, the church is not our idea. It was God's idea from the very beginning. And guess what it cost God? It cost him the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I could have freedom. Show me a time in history. Listen, and I get it. Maybe you're listening to this right now or you're watching this. And you're like, so, you know, church is cool. I'm telling you, it might, in the future, it might be hard. It might not just be ill-advised to go to church. It might not just be like a season of like, hey, we got to stop this for a pandemic. There might come a time, and I'm not trying to raise any flags here, but there might come a time where people say, you know what? The name of Jesus is just intolerant. We don't allow that anymore. There might be a time and day where the First Amendment is no longer protected. And I pray that never happens. But there might come a time where saying the name of Jesus and proclaiming the truth of God's will and God's purpose for mankind might be, you might go to jail. You might get arrested. And I'm just telling you guys, the church was never supposed to be this safe and comfortable place. Show me a time where the church was safe and comfortable, and I'll show you a season of decline for the local church. But watch this. Show me a season where there was persecution. And I'm not saying we're under persecution and all this stuff. You know, we got to raise arms. I'm just saying this. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Show me a time when the church felt like it was being pressed in on all sides. Show me a season where it wasn't okay to speak out on the behalf of Jesus. Show me a time where the church was trying to be silenced, and I'll show you a season where God did exceedingly, abundantly more than anyone could ask, think, or imagine. The church was never supposed to be a safe and comfortable place. We're Christians. We're the church. Rain or shine, we're the church. The church is God's idea, not ours. It's God's plan A for humanity. There is no plan B. And guys, listen, we're the church. We're not just a building. We are the church. We're the holy temple of God, and the local church is the hope of the world. It always has been. It always will be. Amen. I'll close with this. To satisfy the thirst of the sheep, this is my third point, and we'll close. We see the shepherd using wells. Now, I'm not an expert on wells. Like, not whales like, moo, like W-E-L-L-S. You like that Dory flow? I watched the movies, watched the Little Nemo, Finding Nemo. Wells, W-E-L-L-S. Yeah, wells. Wells are these... You don't just go around and, you know, see wells all the time. Maybe if you live out in Pozo or somewhere out in Santa Margarita, you'll see wells. Maybe on AG and the Mesa. But listen, in the Negev Desert, where David would have been shepherding, you wouldn't just stumble across a well all the time. Here's why. They're not a natural phenomenon. It doesn't just pop up. It's not like a well just, oh my God, there's a well. Wells have to be dug. Now, there are a lot of work to build a well. Why? Because you have to dig down deep enough to hit the water source below. There's a water table, and if you keep digging, and the shepherd was determined to dig, if it was a drought season, and he's got all these sheep, and he knows that his livelihood depends on it, he cares about his sheep, he's not going to abandon his sheep. If he's a hireling, maybe he'll bounce because he's like, maybe I can just take care of myself. But if he owns those sheep, if those are his sheep, he's going to do whatever he can to take care of those sheep. You know where I'm going. And he would dig down deep. He'd dig and dig and dig. And eventually, that shepherd would find water, the water that was going to satisfy his sheep. And when I think about wells in my life, when I think about, maybe you think about wells in your life. You know, I have like my daily time with God. Like I spend daily time with God. And I weekly gather. It's so important that we continue to weekly gather. Keep joining us online. And if we do an outdoor service, come to it. Bring your family. It's safe. We got options for you. So don't feel like you have to do one or the other. Just pick an option. But we gather with each other. The streams of God satisfy us each week. But then every so often, maybe once a year or every so many years, I find that the deep satisfaction that I get from God comes through digging into the wells of God's goodness, even when I don't feel like he's working in my life. It's the seasons of sorrow and pain and loss. It's the seasons where I feel like nothing is going the way it should go. And I feel like, man, God, where are you? Why are you not getting involved? Why are you allowing him to? Why would she do that? Why would they go there? Why in the world would this be happening? It's the seasons where I feel like I have no control and I feel dry. Has anyone felt like that in the year 2020? 2020 vision, best year yet. I'm like, yeah, I said that. Still good, still been good. Why? Because I'm satisfied when I find God working through difficult and dark seasons. It's the wells that I dig when my soul is dry. Like, I really gotta dig in. I really got to press into God. You know, when everything's going great, I'm just on cruise control, I love it. God, you know I love those seasons. Thank you for those great seasons. But as I was talking to Allie earlier, it's like, she's like, I actually thank God for this season because it's like I'm pressing in more now than I ever have. Like, I'm growing more because of what's happening. I'm not just sedentary. Like, I'm pressing in. I'm leaning in. And as we lean in, we grow. Because as believers, we don't simply go through hard times. Watch this. We grow through hard times. I love when Jesus was sitting at the well with a woman who was coming late in the afternoon. She was there, and she was a half-breed. Not only was, in this day and age, was it not cool for a man, a Jewish man, to talk to another woman, like, just hanging out, but it's crazy, right? But in this day and age, a Samaritan woman was even worse. It was like she was a half-Jew, half-non-Jew, half-Gentile, and Jesus sits and talks to this woman. All the disciples had gone away, and he goes, hey, I'm thirsty. Can I get a drink? And they're, guess where they're at? They're at a well. The woman was at a well. And she was looking for water. As a matter of fact, she was thirsty. Because she had like five husbands. And the one that she was with was not her husband. Remember this? And Jesus says this to her. And she starts talking to him. And she's asking him. And they're at the well. And she's like theologically debating Jesus. And Jesus is like, she doesn't get it. But I want to show her. She'd been going through a hard time. She'd been divorced many times. She had relational baggage. And I can just imagine some of the trauma that she had been through. Feeling worthless, feeling left out, feeling like all the other ladies probably were talking smack about her. That's probably why she waited till noon, most scholars believe, because she didn't want to go early in the morning when the other ladies, because how many of you know, like, sometimes it's the circles that you're part of that create the most drama in your life. And Jesus answered and he says, hey, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see, the reason why some of us today are feeling so dry is because we haven't been to the well in a long time. And I want to encourage you this morning that it's time to go back to the well. That Jesus has everything you need in him. That he wants to fill up your life once again this morning. That maybe, just maybe, you're here this morning and you're going, you're watching online or you're watching this later in the week. You're like, I feel dry. Maybe, just maybe, regular time, spending time in the dew, the daily engagement in God's word, getting into the stream, getting into the regular rhythm of meeting at church or meeting online, being with other believers. Maybe, just maybe, you're at the place where you're like, I need a well because the land is dry and I have nowhere else to go. I'm going to dig deep. This is your season. Let's dig our deep wells. Let's go down into the Word of God and let's feed our souls on the life-giving water. And His name is Jesus. He's the name above every single name, and He's the only one that can satisfy your soul. Let's worship. Let's stand to our feet. If you're in your living room, you can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, whatever you want to do. We're going to worship for just a minute or two. Let's press into the power and the presence of God. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you are not we're not alone, God. I thank you, Father, that you are the God that satisfies our soul, and like sheep, we run astray, and like sheep, we are afraid, and like sheep, we oftentimes forget that the one person that can lead us is the shepherd. So this morning, God, would you lead your people to streams of living water? Would you lead them to quiet waters so they might feed and thirst and be satisfied from the thirst-quenching water that is your Spirit, Lord? Today, we run to you for our satisfaction. Lord, would you quench the thirst of our souls with your Son, Jesus? And Lord, today, we proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Let's worship our King one more time. Come on, church.
Sing, oh, there's nothing.